had the chance to share with another group earlier today the uniqueness of the Parsha of Pesach Sheni. And maybe in a moment we'll open the Ramban, opening Ramban in the Parak Tes, or the preliminaries, the lead-in to Pesach Sheni. You know, so much of there's a famous drush of the Rav of the Parshas Bahaloscha. Bahaloscha is such a dramatic turnaround. It is perhaps the greatest, you know, pivot point in all of Chumash. And the trajectory of Chumash, usually things sort of build on what came before, and then the next layer, the next step, and the ongoing. And Bahaloscha is a very sharp turn, because the Klal Yisrael are headed from Bamidbar Nusso into the beginning of Bahaloscha. There's so much energy and there's so much momentum. Klal Yisrael have been at Har Sinai since Rosh Chodesh Sivan, less than a month and a half after leaving Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they've been here for almost a year, from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until the 20th of Iyar, as we read about in Parshas Bahaloscha. And everything is moving towards that moment where they're going to leave, as Moshe describes to Yisrael, Nosim Anachnu, we're about to leave Har Sinai, and we're heading towards Eretz Yisrael. And that was what the Rav describes in the famous Rashi as the triumphant march. The triumphant march into Eretz Yisrael. That's what it was supposed to be. And then, after Vehi ben Zoha Aaron, suddenly the transition begins. The parsha, the misonanim, they're complaining about this, and they're belly aching about that, and this chet, and that chet. And you begin this sort of gently downward spiral, which begins to accelerate. And finally, when they hit the point of the chet ha-meraglim, the decree is sealed, and it's going to be another generation before Klal Yisrael make it in to Eretz Yisrael. This is really a parsha of intense drama and extraordinary, I'm not sure that even inflection point is the right word. Really dramatic transition, dramatic, stark shift on a national level. And yet, although so much of the parsha, both for the better and for the worse, is very national, in the midst of this all, Pesach Sheni has an interesting personal angle. So let's take a look at this. The Torah opens, Ashana Hashen is Letzesa Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'chodesh HaRishon. The beginning of the ninth parak of Bamidbar, you have a dateline. The dateline is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's the second year, the first month, Chodesh Nisan. Mikan Amru Chachamim Ein Muktamu Me'ucher B'Torah. This is a source that Chazal say, in the Sifrei, right here in the Medrash Halacha, the Sifrei is the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar Dvarim. That's what the Sifrei comments right here, and it's quoted in Psachim Davav, Ein Muktam Ucher BaTorah, that events may be described in the Torah in a non-chronological sequence. The organ, what comes first and second in Chumash, does not necessarily correspond to what came first and second historically. Ein Muktam Ucher BaTorah. The source is right here, because Bamidbar Perek Aleph opens in Chodesh Iyar. Bamidbar Perek Tes, right over here, eight prakim later, jumps backwards a month to Chodesh Nisan. So there you have it, the Gemara quotes from the Sifrei, Ein Muktam Umu'ucha B'Torah. It happens to be a broader machlokas Rashi Ramban, I think we've discussed in other shiurim. How widely can you apply this? Rashi is ready to apply this pretty liberally. As a matter of fact, Rashi understands that Truma Tetzaveh happened after Kisisa, that the Tzivui to build Mishkan followed on the heels of the Chet HaEgel, even though Truma Tetzaveh appeared in the Chumash before Kisisa. Rashi chalks it up to Emuk Mokhar BaTorah. Ramban famously disagrees. Ramban says, no. You can't apply doing it willy-nilly wherever, only in a situation such as here, where the Torah actually specifies. Perek Aleph, it says Chodesh Iyar, Chodesh HaSheni. And here in Perek Tes, it says, there you have it, B'chodesh HaRishon. Okay, so whether you apply broadly or not, this is definitely an example of Ein Muktam Ume'ucher B'Torah. Perek Tes is describing events that happened before the events described in Perek Aleph. And here what the Rabban wants to know is, well, why? Why? So if Perek Tes happened first, why not write it first? And if the tzivui to bring Karban Pesach was told to Jewish people in Chodesh Nisan, so why is it only appearing 8 prakim after the beginning of Chodesh HaMidbar? Tam ha'ichar hazeh, what's the reason for this this delay, that the Perek Tes is delayed so much it's written here instead of being written beforehand? He says, let's put things into context. Ki kasher bo ha-sefer hazeh ha-revi'i, this fourth book, in other words, Sefer Bamidbar, its primary focus, its primary objective is l'hazkira ha-mitzvah shenitztavu Yisrael b'midbar Sinai l'shaitam. This is telling the story of what happens in the Midbar, and specifically the mitzvos that were taught to the Jewish people in the Midbar, and even more specifically, those that had relevance to that particular time period. So that's the primary focus of Chumash Bamidbar. So ratzel l'hashlim inyan ol mo'i v'tikuno kol yimei ha-midbar. So we begin, the Torah begins, by talking about wrapping up all the issues of having an Ohel Moed in the Midbar. Hizkir t'chila ha-degalim, makom ha-ohel, mamad misharsa, v'tikun ha-mishmaros, l'masa alucha v'osa'ol. So that's why Chumash Bamidbar opens with counting the Jews for the purpose of setting up the camp. You're going to have the degalim of the shvatim, and the, you know, four trios of shvatim, the trio of shvatim in the north, the trio in the south, and the east and the west, and where the mamon misharsa, where the misharsi Hashem, where the levim are supposed to live, and working out the mishmaros l'masa olucha v'osa'ol, working out how will the levim divide up the work of transporting the mishkan. So that's all laying the framework for the jewel in the center. Right? You have the Mishkan is surrounded by the Machne Leviyah and surrounded in turn by the Machne Yisrael. So everything that's been happening up until now is sort of developing the framework within which you're going to have a Mishkan, and the developing the working schedule for how you're going to transport the Mishkan from point to point. And his gear carbonos hanasim. And then we talk about the Nesiim, the end of Parshas Noso. Why are they here? Number one, because the Torah told us last week, Sedra, that the Nesiim provided the trucks. They provided the wagons that were used for transporting much of the Mishkan, and Hishlim Karbonosam, the Chanukah Zamizbeach. Shahi Me'echad Benison, Oshachakain. And then we also heard about the Karbanos that the Nesiim brought, starting on Rosh Chodesh Nisan or afterwards, and that sort of wrapped up the story, the theme that we've been talking about up until now of the full setting up of the Mishkan. So, Ray, the Mishkan's already built. Ray heard about the Mishkan in Chumash Shemos and Chumash Vayikra, but now we're hearing about how it was actually implemented and how it played out within the context of the Jews in the Midbar. So that's what we heard about the Machne Yisrael, the Machne Levi, and the counting of the Degalim, and so on and so forth. Yachakach shav lehazkir azhar sheyizirasam shloishkechu mitzvah Pesach. And so that's the primary focus here. So it's understandable that the Sefer Midbar opens with the full implementation of Midbar, of Mishkan within the context of Midbar. After all that's been settled, now the Torah jumps back to say, but here's also an important point. Just like we already said, you know, the Nesiim are bringing their Karbanos, which probably happened in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's already a jump back. Here's another jump back, as in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hashem has Moshe tell them, you gotta bring Karban Pesach. Shlo yishkechu mitzvas ha-Pesach. Okay. And then he says, well, you know, that's interesting, especially if you're setting the stage, the way the Ramban is sort of laying the framework here, that we're really focused on Midbar living, especially sort of temporary Midbar living, Mishkan in the Midbar, you know, telling us that you're supposed to bring Karban Pesach, that's not unique to the Midbar, that's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael also. And this is forever after. We have not had the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah in almost 2,000 years because we're missing Beis HaMikdash, but fundamentally that mitzvah applied from then all the way till now. So why is this Midbar? So he explains, well, the Aldas Rabbo Seinu lo Noaga b'Midbar ella b'shana zu bilvad. L'fi sh'lomalu b'Midbar v'ha'isa mila zecharim v'avadim akeves b'hem. He says, Chazal explain to us that they only brought the Karban Pesach this one year. And when you get to Sefer Yehoshua, there's a description in the Psukim of this mass Mila followed by a mass Karban Pesach. So Chazal understand that after this year in the Midbar, their first Karban Pesach in the Midbar, they took a break until they got to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because that most Jews were not practicing Mila in the Midbar, and as a result, they were not allowed to bring Karban Pesach, because one is not permitted to bring Karban Pesach if his children or Avadim. Not only can I not bring Karban Pesach if I don't have a Mila, I cannot even bring Karban Pesach if my children, my sons, or my Avadim do not have a Mila. Ha'isa Mila Zecharim v'Avadim Akevas Ben. Fascinating. So this parsha of Mila, Ramban says, it fits into this overall framework. This is sort of like a unique piece. And then he pushes it even further. He says, Yitachin, this notion that Karban Pesach was brought this, and they brought it last year when they were still in Mitzrayim, the night before Yitzias Mitzrayim. And they bring it this year, a year after Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then not again for decades until they come into Eretz Yisrael. He says, it's not just that it worked out that way. He says, Chazal understand that it's because they happen to not perform meal in the Midbar. And Ban sings, Al Pipshuto, it's more than that. V'yitachein, says, it would make sense to me Shahutrach lemitzvah zu. You know why you need to have this mitzvah? Ba'avur. You know why you have to have the mitzvah here, in this context? You're going to bring Karban Pesach this year. Ba'avur shlo nitztavu mitchila ba'asiyas Pesach doros ela ba'aretz. The permanent mitzvah of Karban Pesach really only applied in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnayos near the end of Maseches Pesachim use this language of Pesach doros, the Pesach of the generations, as opposed to Pesach Mitzrayim. The Mishnayos tell us that, you know, some of the rules of the way they brought the Karban Pesach that first year, the right before the Yitzias Mitzrayim, there were certain rules there that were unique to that one time that were never replicated. Masnechem chagurim nalechem baraglechem, the blood on the doors instead of on Mizbech. But the Mishnayos point out there are many unique dinim of Pesach Mitzrayim, as opposed to what the Mishnah calls Pesach Doros, the permanent ongoing mitzvah Doros of Karban Pesach, the normal fashion. So the Ramban says the mitzvah Pesach Doros really was supposed to, it fundamentally began when they got into Mitzrayim. It was a special exception that they brought Karban Pesach this year, a year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Really, it's only supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Dichsiv ha'yakis havo el ha'aret asher yitain Hashem lochem kasher diber. Going back to the end of Parshas Bo, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, u'shmartim havodah zos, then you're going to keep this avodas ha'pesach. And it says there, v'haya kevyech Hashem le'aret ha'kanani. Now these are the parshas, the first two parshas of Tefillin. When a Ribbono Shel Olam will bring you into Eretz Canaan, va'avad says avodah zos b'chodesh hazeh. Rabban says, very, very fascinating. He says, you know, if you go back to Parshas Bo, it really sounds in Parshas Bo that Hashem is telling the Jewish people, look, right before Yetzias Mitzrayim, that year, the day before Yetzias Mitzrayim, bring Karban Pesach, and then when you get to Eretz Yisrael, we'll pick this up again. Rabban says, if you go back to first principles, go back to Parshas Bo, the next fundamentally beyond Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Doros is really an Eretz Yisrael phenomenon. And by the way, there's a Tosfos that seems to maybe capture some of this as well. Tosfos and Psachim Daf Gimel Beis, they're talking about a scenario, very intriguing story beyond our scope right now. But the Gemara tells a story of Yehuda ben Beseira. he did not bring Karban Pesach. Other Jews bring Karban Pesach, and the Tana Rita Maseira is not. Tos wants to know how come, and Tos suggests, well, maybe only Chayvin Karban Pesach if you live in Eretz Yisrael. Wow. So there's a connection between Pesach and Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, they really weren't supposed to be bringing Karban Pesach in the Midbar. It was only supposed to apply once they got into Eretz Yisrael. But Davka here, he says Davka here, and I leave the hour's very late, but I leave with this intriguing line. Why he has a lot to say, but let's see one more line. Why should this be? He says, you look in Parashas Bo, that's what it says. That's what it says in the Psukim. You're performing Karban Pesach now in Mitzrayim, and when you get there to Israel, you perform Karban Pesach again. So he says, Achshav, he says, what that means is that this Parsha, Bamidbar Perek Tes, is really fits into the theme of Horoz Shah in the Midbar. Just like that temporary dinam of how you're going to carry and transport the Mishkan from place to place, and how you're going to live encamped, you know, three shvatim on each side around the Mishkan, there were a temporary din of bringing Karban Pesach that first year in the Midbar. That's not really the Ikar HaDin. The Ikar HaDin, the main mitzvah of Doros, is Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. Achshav rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'tziva sheyasu oso kedei shetiyah zecher ge'ulasam v'hanisim shenaslem v'la'ava oseyem ne'atak lahem min ha'avos harom levneim uvneim levneim ledor dar. This was really meant to be scaffolding. This is the bridge. The main mitzvah, there was Pesach Mitzrayim, and then there's Pesach Ladoros in Eretz Yisrael. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said a separate, special, temporary mitzvah to make Karban Pesach Davka this year in order to bridge the gap from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Doros. To maintain that chain of Masorah so that the Jews who came into Eretz Yisrael and brought Karban Pesach would have seen a live Karban Pesach as children. So that there could be a direct conveyance of the Masorah from the Avos Haroim, Levnehem, Uvnehem, Ledardar. Those, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, who saw B'mo Einayim, they themselves saw Yetzias Mitzrayim, they had to already have a Pesach Midbar to begin. The Pesach Midbar was meant to pass on the Masorah to the next generation. But so that's fascinating. That's fascinating that there was this intermediate mitzvah of needing to maintain Masorah. Needing to maintain Masorah. I'll leave you with one other thought. In the world of Pesach Sheni, we opened with the fact that the Ramban is talking about how the parasha of Pesach Rishon or Pesach Midbar really fits into the theme of Baal Oscha in terms of the temporary mitzvahs that meant to just give them the guidance for how to live in Midbar temporarily. And the Pesach Midbar is or the temporary bridge until you get to the real Pesach Doros in Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, Pesach Sheni in particular is unique in that it is unlike as we opened before. The Rav paints this dramatic picture of Baal Oscha in terms of major communal national trajectory moving forward, and then the chet that causes them to step back and they're making a about face away from the Nosim Anachnu. And yet Pesach Sheni is really individual. Pesach Sheni is not communal. And the Torah presents Pesach Rishon, Pesach Midbar. The Jews have to have Karban Pesach. That fits into the Tzibur flavor of Baal Oscha. But then the Pesach Sheni really was individuals. And what's intriguing is as Rashi reminds us, the Torah really could have begun Vaydabar Shal Moshe Lemer or Pesach Sheni. someone's tamei b'derech rechoka, here's the din. But instead, this is one of the rare times the Torah presents the backstory for the mitzvah. There were people who are tameim l'nefesh, and they come and bring the pesach, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say the magic words, lama nigara, why should we lose out? And it was that tzchus, which gave them an almost singular opportunity to be presented in Chumash as the catalyst of a mitzvah. How many other people are presented anywhere in Chumash as the catalyst for a mitzvah? This is a very, very, very powerful schus they had. And that powerful schus was Lama Nigara. That they were interested, they weren't just interested in checking the boxes. They were spiritually ambitious. They were actively asking the question, you know, WDGW, what does God want of me? Not just have I done enough, we told you you're Pater. But he said, but we want Karm Pesach. I'm seeking Kirvas Elokim. I'm seeking to maximize my Kirvas Elokim. It's not always obvious what that consists of. But that desire to maximize Ritzon Hashem, that Lama Nigar, why should we be left out? Rather than saying, okay, you know, we're off, that's what drove them to have this almost singular schus of the parsha was presented al shemam. And again, it was something private. It wasn't public. It wasn't communal. It was a private sense of ambition that gave them this dramatic schus. That's one of the highlight concepts in parshas Baal Oscha, is the incredible power of personal spiritual ambition. A closing thought. Rabbi Osa, thank you so much.